Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5HETIDE.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5HETIDE.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode of Film Study. This is Ken McCusick. Today, we continue our series of That One Play, talking about a very cool one, the 2006 win at Tennessee, and specifically Trevor Price's blocked field goal that won the game with about 40 seconds remaining. Here to talk with me about it is Dan Ibrahimi. Dan, how you doing?
I'm doing well, Ken. Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be back.
All right. Yeah, great to have you. You had a good first episode, too, and always nice to see people come back for a second one. So I want this to be kind of from your perspective. So tell us a little bit about the build-up to this game and where the Ravens were at this point and what they needed to get done at Tennessee.
So obviously the buildup for this game was mainly that it was a homecoming for Steve McNair along with Derek Mason and Samari Roll. The Ravens were 6-2 entering this game, with the Titans being a reverse 2-6. And you started to just get a feeling this was 2 weeks after that Saints game that was so special. This was just kind of the game that sort of convinced me at the time, at least, that this team actually may be able to advance and get a first round bye.
So the 6-2, they had yet to play the Steelers. They had a big win over the Bengals, who were some of the in division competition for them. They beat the Bengals the week before. One of the things they talked about, and you mentioned the McNair and Roll and Mason, but McNair said, you know, this is a business trip. It's not a family reunion. It was one of the overriding themes of this game. And so they went back and they faced a Vince Young-led Titans team who led them 26-7 in the second quarter.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, look, it was the most yards in a game McNair threw for as a Raven. It was actually the third highest total of his career. And just a really kind of up and down performance from him. His second pass attempt of the game was a 65-yard touchdown strike to Mark Clayton. Then he pulled a little bit of a Dan Orlovsky and sort of voluntarily walked out of the back of the end zone for a safety. And then he threw two interceptions to the same guy on the Titans. So a really up and down performance from them. But it was great that the winning touchdown pass was from McNair to Derek Mason.
Yeah, wide open, kind of a busted play. We'll hit that on another show potentially. Obviously, the other big comeback play, really the play that started the comeback and I thought was kind of pivotal for the Ravens, was the Ovi Mahaley 30-yard touchdown. Kind of a late release, little dump-off pass, and Mahaley just would not be tackled. And they had chances at him. I think it might have been Bullock missed him. But 30-yard touchdown that really started that comeback and really started Mahaley on what would be a Pro Bowl career. So Mahaley was in his last year with the Ravens. Got picked up by the Falcons, played there for several years, but got a big contract with the Falcons immediately after. But this play was really the first play of any significance he'd been involved in. And then he I think he ended up with 20 or 22 catches down the stretch in about the final 8 or 9 games. So very impressive start to the offensive career of Obi Mihaly. And he went down to Atlanta. I think he's stayed there and become a radio personality and done some other things. But he definitely, I wonder, one time recently, I just had noted that Kyle Juszczyk had a long catch, and it was the longest by a fullback in Ravens history. And the only one of 30 yards previously was this one to Mihaly. And he commented back on that. So anyway, I thought that was kind of a cool thing. And Ovi had his moment. The Ravens got back in the game 26-17 at halftime. One of the third quarter still trailing. Do you want to take us up to the kind of the back and forth up to the final play we're talking about?
Absolutely. That sounds great. So as you mentioned, the Ravens did find themselves down 26-7 in the second quarter, allowing 23 straight first half points, 16 points off turnovers for the Titans. So they were down big at one point. I believe this was possibly the biggest comeback in team history at the time.
Yes.
It was so... they were definitely down badly at one point. They also got bailed out on a Mike Anderson fumble, which was actually challenged by Jeff Fisher and not overturned. Again, this was such a weird game with so many back and forths and so many penalties. Despite Jeff Fisher losing that challenge because of a Jonathan Ogden personal foul, the Ravens still found themselves at 3rd and 35 after that. And again, that was in the third quarter. So they were forced to punt after understandably not converting the 3rd and 35. But after the McNair to Mason touchdown, which I believe was just under 4 minutes left in the game, the Ravens defense didn't force a three and out, but they held the Titans to just 4 plays. I think it was like 13 yards total on the ensuing drive. And then the Ravens offense actually was forced to punt again, due in part to an intentional grounding penalty on McNair. So, that was when the Titans offense then, somehow got that second shot, despite, you know, all of this happening with basically 3.5 minutes left in the game. So at that point, Vince Young got the ball back. I think it was an 18 or a 17 yard strike on the first play of that drive. Then I think it was an incomplete pass. And then he ran it for 17 yards down to the Ravens 31 yard line. And I believe he got hurt.
He was hurt on that play. Yes. Just watched it.
Right. So then Kerry Collins comes in, but he doesn't attempt a pass, which could have proved pretty huge for the outcome of this game. The Ravens still had 3 timeouts remaining, and they started using them after that play. So Kerry Collins comes in, hands it off to Travis Henry 3 straight times for a total of 7 yards on those 3 plays. And then, I mean, it's a 43-yard field goal for Rob Baronis. I'm not sure how his year as a whole was, but this game was certainly one to forget in his career.
Yeah, he missed from 41, then got blocked here from 42. Baronis is only a second-year kicker at this point. And so Ravens fans will remember Al Del Greco is one of the favorite Tennessee kickers in Ravens history. He not only did he miss all the kicks in the playoff game, that he missed 4 out of 5 actually in that game. One of them, he got a second chance by penalty. So he really only shows up as missing 3 out of 4, but one was also blocked for the game deciding 90 yard touchdown return. And then in the regular season, a lot of people don't remember this. McNair had a very similar run to what Young did to set up this touchdown, got him into field goal range in the last 40 seconds or so with the Ravens leading by 1, very similar game, 24-23 then. Del Greco missed a kick then as well to lose that game.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
So the Titans kickers over the years have done the Ravens a lot of favors, with the exception of Anderson, who had the big kick in the 2003 playoff game.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And Ken, was Rob Baronis the kicker for that 2008 playoff game as well?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So he missed a kick from long range in that game too, to like a 51 or something that was kind of key.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. And Stover played very well in that game as well as this one. And Ken, Baronis actually he missed a 38 yarder in this game as well, but it was nullified on an offside penalty on McAllister. Huh. So if he had a worse game in his career, I'm not sure what it was, but this was a rough one for sure. But after Vince Young got hurt, those three successive runs by Travis Henry sandwiched by three Ravens timeouts, the Ravens were actually setting up to get the ball back. Had Baronis made it, they probably would have gotten it back with approximately 35 seconds on the clock. But there was no need for that. The 43-yard field goal attempt was blocked by Trevor Price. He and Adalius Thomas, I believe you mentioned earlier, burst through that C gap. And boy, did they get through. They got through, and it seemed like by the time the holder got the snap, both of them were through. And Price blocked it, all 6'5" of him. This was, one of the best seasons of his career, even being on the back half of it. So that was an exclamation point. I believe he got a defensive player of the year vote that year. So that was just a great exclamation point on one of my favorite Ravens regular season wins ever.
Fantastic year there by Trevor Price. And that the move to get through, it really is unusual that you see that kind of a jailbreak anywhere that close to over center. And this was just the tackle in this case looked inside, then he looked outside. By the time he looked outside again, it was Trevor Price was already through him. There's no stopping him. But Adalius Thomas is also through the same gap. I mean, their biggest competition for getting to the kick was each other in terms of like being in the way. And, we mentioned a little bit in the production meeting that it kind of looks like Adalius Thomas is on the outside, and it's easy to get confused by these guys. They're both huge men, obviously, both two of the tallest Ravens, and they're both breaking through the same point. And it's very hard on the recording that I have to see it at from fairly long distance, which one is which. 90 and 96 look a lot alike. There's a lot of similarities there. Anyway, they both broke through. Price is sprawling because he's almost tripping over Thomas to get to the kick, gets his hand up, ball rolls dead. Actually, the Titans touched it first, which makes it, as with a punt, a ball that the return team can touch it. And then I think Bart Scott might have picked it up, and then the ball was fumbled again, and the Titans picked it up. So they thought they had it, but Bart Scott knew what the rules was. He was basically, I touched it after he touched it. It's not a problem. And it wasn't. So Ravens knelt and they won the game.
Yeah, absolutely. No, that was a really special game. Had you know, the quintessential Ed Reed interception, and I don't even know what to call it, but there was a lateral at the end of the play, but he was pushed back about 12 yards. So that was pretty wild. And Ken, if I could, I did want to bring up the rest of the season for both of these teams, because it was pretty interesting, actually. The Titans' loss in this game got them to 2-7, but after that, they actually only lost once more for the rest of the year. And I believe their next three games actually featured wins over the Colts, who would win the Super Bowl that year, as well as additional playoff teams and the Eagles and Giants. So they really turned it on after this game. Their only loss for the remainder of the season was in week 17 to the New England Patriots, who were just kind of getting hot at that point as well. That got Vince Young the Rookie of the Year. And you know, at the time watching this game, I remember wondering just what the heck the Ravens were doing, allowing a two and six team to you know, go up by 19 points on them in the second quarter. But it turned out that Titans team was pretty good with the Offensive Rookie of the Year, Vince Young. And in turn, the Ravens were too, only losing one more game for the rest of that year at Cincinnati, with every win coming by more than one possession. So this was a really special game for sure.
Yeah, great team. And, you know, people will look at this 2006 season and say, you know, the Colts game is, I think, for Ravens fans, one of the most frustrating in team history. And I don't even know how to relatively rank it against the Lamar loss to the Titans in the first round in 2019. But they're right there, 1-2, in terms of the worst games in Ravens history, the most frustrating defeats. So not a good end for this team. And obviously Steve McNair, despite the success in this season, did not hang around. And Kyle Bowler had a pretty good year in relief, and this year got another chance as the starter. Guy had multiple lives to get a chance in 2007 again. And then the Ravens really had to move on into the Joe Flacco era after that. 2007 was a nightmare in many ways.
Absolutely. It absolutely was. And about that Colts game, I listened to your That One Play podcast about it, and it was excellent. It really did a great job of kind of taking me back to that game. I actually watched it in full on YouTube afterwards. I kind of wish I hadn't, because there was definitely some heartbreak in there. I totally wiped from my memory the interception by Ed Reed. I don't see any angle where he was remotely arguably out of bounds on that potential lateral. And then McNair's interception on the goal line was really just insult to injury. So it was a great podcast, though. Really did a great job kind of, you know, underscoring that game.
Hey, appreciate you coming on, Dan. And thanks for the kind words about the other pods. I'm sure he'll love to hear it. Other folks out there, if you'd like to be on a pod and do one of these That One Play episodes, I'm still taking suggestions, and I'm still giving some suggestions online if you don't know what play you'd like to do. But in particular, I'd like any plays from prior to 2000. Just send me a DM on Twitter. I'll get right back to you. The total time is only about a week or 10 days from when you first come up with a suggestion till scheduling and we actually record. And I'm doing a lot of these in advance. There's going to be a number of them in the queue, but your show will come out, I promise. And love to get as many people to the microphone as possible during this off season. Dan, tell folks where they can talk football with you online. I skipped that part.
Absolutely. My Twitter account is Dre 8820.
All right. Outstanding. Dan, thanks a lot for coming on.
Thank you so much, Ken.
We'll talk to you next time on Film Study.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk. But it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.